Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Escapes with our power couples. I'm super excited today to have Mike and Tiffany Collado. They are a dynamic duo that I have loved following. This duo has taken the road less traveled and literally created a life of their dreams. If you don't follow them, I'm sure that we're going to drop hints on where to follow them, where to get their podcast, or to see them together. Both left corporate America to work together to help their clients win in life, business, and relationships. We love this couple because they are truly an open book. They're raw, accountable, and authentic. They truly make an impact with every conversation. So let's escape with Mike and Tiffany to win fast and win often. And let's see what they have to say because he can't coach me today. Hey guys.
I do what I want. You don't have to accept the coaching, but I'm sure I cannot turn that off. It's an unfortunate reality. But yeah, no, thank you so much for having us on. Obviously, Tiff and I have done a lot of like wife and husband episodes, but we haven't really done a interview, I think.
We've done one or two, but not a lot.
Not many. Not as good as this one, obviously.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. No. So I'm super excited. I'm super stoked. I told Garland, I feel like I know Mike probably better just through WinRate and following him. And I can't wait to hear some of Tiff's answers or hear her talk a little bit. But I loved following you through your podcast because you guys are just so raw and authentic. And I think that a lot of people are missing that. Whether that be in their relationships, marriage, podcasts, working together, whatever it is. So I'm excited to jump in. So can you tell everybody a little bit about yourself so that they can kind of get to know you guys just a little bit?
All right. So I am Tiffany, for those that I have not met. I am the director of events here at WinRate. So I basically put everybody in the room together where we can make the magic happen. By we, I mean our coaches. I joined Mike 3 years ago now. Leaving corporate America was a massive leap for me because that was my comfort zone. But I can't imagine doing life any other way than we do it now. So I love working with this man. We have two boys who are also in the mix full time because we homeschool. So there's a lot going on in the Claudio household on a regular basis.
So Tiffany, when you left corporate America, what were you doing?
I was what was called a release train engineer / scrum master. I did not scrub dishes every day. Everybody always asks, what did you scrub? No, it basically is it's a project manager in an agile world. So I worked for Bank of America. We did tech for tech. So I was internal technology. I worked with our development teams, helping them strategically plan for the year and stay on track with that plan. So
cool. We can relate to that, obviously, because we were both in some sort of corporate America. Erica left first. I'll tell you, there was a time that I wanted to leave and Erica wasn't ready. She really wanted to hold on to that security of the salary that I had and the benefits and the health insurance and everything. So
corporate for us was really a safe haven for a little while. But my mom was an entrepreneur for a long time and started and sold businesses quite a few times. So I always felt like I had that drive. I just didn't know what I wanted to do because I didn't have a passion for anything at that time. I was in the oil and gas industry before we started E&G, and it was really awkward for me because I loved houses and I would come home all the time, but he was in the waste industry. And I was like, what are we going to start?
like, I don't know. We always joke that we would do like an ENG sweep and paint company. It's like, how do we do something? We didn't know what we wanted to do. So it's interesting that y'all were both in corporate. Mike, what did you do in corporate before?
I spent about 10 years at Verizon Wireless in different retail and B2B sales positions, sales and sales leadership. Cool. That's what I did, you know, pretty much before entrepreneurship and construction space, which I've been in for the last, you know, almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, how did you know it was time to make the jump? Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I wanted to make the jump. Erica was kind of hesitant about it. And then when COVID hit, it was a push. Like, there was an opportunity to take a package for me to leave. And it was just like a layup. Like, somebody passed me this opportunity. So maybe your situation wasn't that easy. I don't know. I'm just curious, what was that like?
And for me, it was, you know, I had reached a point where my next step in corporate America was middle management. And like, I was still very young. I was like 25, 26 at the time, and recognized that like, I didn't have the right, I'm too honest, I'm too direct for corporate America, specifically middle management, right? And I really, at that point, was still immature to the point of like, I just really liked being an individual contributor. And I went from one position to another where I took on like very large accounts, like US Airways, Volvo were examples of accounts that I supported at Verizon. And, you know, dealing with that huge, Fortune 500 space, just, I hated it. It was so much red tape. You can't be honest anywhere. I was blessed to an extent. When I first started selling cell phones, was pre-smartphones. Like, I was like, before smartphones were a thing is when I was selling them. And I saw the Blackberries and the Palms and the iPhone. The Razor Flip, like, that was like a cool thing. It came out in three colors. This thing, look how thin it is.
Yeah,
it was
awesome. I had the pink.
And so, but like that, my early career in wireless was very exciting. A lot of new stuff. Well, like, oh God, the iPhone 10, like, it just, there wasn't anything cool about it. The industry wasn't evolving. And I was at a point where I just did not like my role and responsibilities anymore. And I was not ready for like, basically throwing on the towels. I'm like, all right, middle management, I'll make 200 grand a year. And this is what I'm going to do until I retire. And I was like, I'm worth more than this. And so for me, it was, I was more anxious, more depressed, more miserable. She saw it and it was like, I need out. And I had an opportunity to go help a friend build his remodeling company, took a massive pay cut. And
I was like, it doesn't matter, whatever gets you back. Cause like, he was absolutely miserable in that 30-day cycle.
I ran 9.5 years on a 30-day quota cycle.
So that's funny that you say that, Tiff, because that was kind of where we were with Garland. Look, Waste Management and United Site Services were amazing to our family when he was there. We needed that. It pushed us and elevated us to an extent that we kind of tapped out, but he was absolutely miserable. He was leaving the house at 3:30 in the morning and not getting home until 5 or 6. He was missing every single thing with the kids.
Yeah. When I joined ENG, it was the first time in 12 years that I'd ever been around for the kids to eat breakfast in the morning. And like, that's crazy. Like,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see how much it like changed our lifestyle. And I think when I interview my power couples for the podcast, the one thing that I keep going back to is that, like, how do y'all support each other? Like, through challenges, through high times, like, y'all are together all the time, just like we are. I mean, people say, oh, y'all are together all the time. I mean, we have our own thing that we're doing, but y'all also homeschool. That's like, kudos to y'all, because we don't do that. But how does that work? Like, how do you know what you need to support Mike with? And Mike, how do you know what you need to support Tiff with?
Crystal clear roles and responsibilities. And making sure that one of the biggest lessons that I keep saying, we've talked about a bunch this year. This year has been one of the hardest because the business grew significantly. Like, everything grew this year significantly. And I was wearing some hats that needed to work for Mike and some hats that worked with him. And we learned that because I can basically read his mind as his wife doesn't necessarily mean I can do that in that assistant role for him and like managing his schedule. And it was really easy for that role to be the first one that was cut when it was like, hey, I need like 30 minutes of your time to get us on the same page. Well, it was just like, you know what I like to do or how I like things done. So like that would fall off the calendar. So he just had a minute to breathe. And we've since made some massive roles and responsibility shifts this year, just for clarity and for everyone's sake on the team, which has been a huge, huge move for us and our relationship to alleviate that pain of just like missed expectations all the time because of a lack of true communication when it comes to work. We're really good at communicating on the life side, but when it came to work stuff, it was just like, just read my mind and like, let's get it done. And as hard as I was trying, I just kept missing the mark because we weren't talking about it. So that's the biggest thing for us is like very, very clear roles. And like you do that, we suggest doing that for all of your employees. So it was no different in us learning how to work together. I fit very much so better in roles where I get to work with him, not for him. So
there's two giant lessons I've learned and I think we've implemented incredibly well is one, we meet regularly to talk about how are we doing in our roles. Mm-hmm. And so like we meet weekly, monthly and quarterly, we meet weekly, monthly and quarterly with different agendas. Like we run our life like a business and we've been doing that for 10 years. We have budget meetings. We have roles, responsibility meetings. We have like, we do SWOT analysis on us and as a family every quarter. And we would create initiatives personally based on that. But there's two things we do very, very effectively because even roles and responsibilities are great. But what happens as things evolve, right? Needs, wants, desires, seasons evolve. And so we meet regularly with intended desired outcomes and agendas. Might be weird, but we do. Mm-hmm. But then we got really good at telling each other where we're failing. Like, I'll say, babe, how am I doing as a husband right now? Where am I feeling? Like, we don't take it personally when someone has an opinion that isn't good. It's we're saying this to fight for us as a couple. We're saying this to fight for our growth and our success as a married power couple, right? We're using the term from today, but like, she's not afraid to say, hey, you're really underperforming here. And I'm not afraid to say, hey, you're really underperforming here. And like, I want more of this or less of this. And like, I need you to like calm down sometimes faster. Or like, hey, I need you to transition from work more effectively. Or hey, I need you to want to have sex with me more. Can you please just come on to me every once in a while so I can kind of feel sexy? And like, we're not afraid to say that. And the other person, we've learned through conversations that I'm not saying this to make you feel worse. I'm saying this to help us get back on the same page. And like something that she learned more recently in the last couple of years is like, it's okay to have wants and needs and it's okay to ask for it. Like, and as people, right. As hyper, like you're afraid to ask for help. You're afraid to ask for more. You're like, you're watching your spouse struggle in work or struggle in the job or struggle of being a parent. And you're like, well, I don't want to ask them for more. When you don't do that, you don't get what you fucking want.
That's right.
And when you get what you want, you grow apart. And so like us being willing to sit down and be like, hey, this is where I feel like you suck right now. And I say that with all the love in the world, because we need to solve this together.
Yeah, we're fighting for each other, right?
100%.
We're fighting for each other. And like, I think that's where we do better at that in some areas and we don't do well in some areas. And we're okay with saying that that's where we're trying. He's laughing when you say meet, 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 because that's me saying, I need you by yourself to just focus on this, or I need you to do this. And so he literally started busting out laughing because you're speaking our language right now. Like this is, I feel like a lot of couples go through this where they don't feel like they know how to communicate without hurting each other's feelings, because that's the last thing that you want to do. But I agree with you. And just so that all the listeners know, y'all did a podcast on something very similar to this conversation, and y'all were very open and raw about what you were asking for. And I would challenge all the listeners to go and listen to that, because there's a lot of nuggets in there that I took away that I did. I came home and I was like, this is what I need. And I sent it to Garland in the car and I was like, you need to listen to this, because this is the part that we're missing. We can communicate with work. We have CRMs that do things for us, that tell us what our to-do tasks are, right? Like, this is what you need to do. but we are each other's to-do list. Like, I need you to not focus on our son's baseball schedule, and I need you to focus on me for 10 minutes, or vice versa. Well, I need you to not think about work because I am the work person all the time.
She'll spend a lot of time on the phone helping other people with problems. They just call her and she wants to fix everybody's problems. It's like, hold up, we got to get this work done, you know? So, but I have equal opportunities to get better.
So when y'all talk about like communication, like I think that that's one place that I feel like every power couple, every regular couple probably don't want to admit, but that's probably where they struggle the most on being direct on what they want from each other. So when I think about seasons of our life, like what were you and Tiff's like hardest season? Like, was it before y'all? A lot of people see your success, right? They see your success. They see where you are. They see where you've gone. And it's like, they don't get to see all the struggles that came with that or all the hustling time. Like, what was y'all's hardest season?
Success.
Success, for sure.
Yeah. This has been one of the hardest seasons we've encountered together. Granted, we're year 13 together. You're 11 married. So, like, that's a long time. But, like,
16 we're not the same last week.
Wow. I mean,
16
married. Last week. Yeah. Married. 18.
Yeah, no, that's all. Awesome. So, that's a win. There's two that stick out to me specifically from challenging. I think, like, postpartum, like, post-babies were our two were very difficult seasons. Where, like, yeah, I've been pretty open about it. Like, she didn't like the way she looked. And when she don't feel sexy, I don't get sexy. And I need intimacy in my life. And, like, I never physically cheated on Tiff, but I absolutely had conversations with women I should not have had that absolutely should have broken us. And, you know, God, Tiff, patience, forgiveness,
all the things,
empathy, like right. we were able to get through those seasons. That was probably one of the hardest because, like, I didn't see her as this like post-pregnancy body. I saw her as like the love of my life still. And right. She wanted nothing to do with me intimately. Like mostly because she didn't like, it was like years. She wouldn't even get naked in front of me with the lights on. And I'm like, and so like when
I'll
that
talk
was
about this in another podcast, I remember
we did. And like, so I like to make people laugh and that comes across as flirty. And when you get around a bunch of women who don't get that at home, they come chasing that shit. And I don't understand lines. And then it gets exciting and fun. And then it gets a little naughty and more exciting. And you're like, fuck, we're way past the line now. And I'm not proud of it, but that's the truth. The truth is that I fucked that up. And that created one of the most challenging seasons, which was probably 7 years ago, right after MJ.
Yeah, it started right before when we got like pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a tough one. And then 2019 was probably the second.
Sorry, maybe.
Yeah. Sorry, I just saw like smoke going past my window. I'm like, what is that? the second ones was at the end of 2019, I went through a season where I attempted suicide. And that was the start of a very rocky season. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
That was not a, there's a whole story to that, and I don't want to take up too much time. Like, it one time thing. I think everybody goes through like thoughts of like, what would it be like if I wasn't around anymore? But like, I was literally in the action. There's a whole story to this on like how God played a role in saving my life that night. But I ended up waking Tiff up and like explain what just happened. And we went through like, we both went through therapy. We both went through like, I got medicated to like help solve the season. And then like COVID hit and I lost my entire company. Like it was like overnight. Like I went from 30 grand a month in revenue to 2 grand a month in revenue, like fucking March to April of 2020. And it was just like this 6 month season of like, what the fuck? And there was never a plan B, but we battled through that. I would say that was harder than this year for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year was harder for you. Mm-hmm. You know, when we moved last year, we went into the, let's start homeschooling, Tiff's in the business. We made some hires. We had a nanny and then we lost like all the support. Like we fired our event person. The nanny quit. Like And Tiff tried to just like balance it all and was unwilling to ask for help, was very difficult to delegate when to people she did have to, but not a lot of people to delegate to. And I was pushing hard as we went through another major growth season this year. And, you know, I mean, if you're like in the last 18 months, you know, I've hired and fired probably like 25 people, you know, and like, that's a lot, you know, and on top of coaching dozens of companies. Right. And
30 events.
And we threw 30 fucking events this year. Like, we pushed the envelope in 2023 of what's possible. And the unfortunate reality is I have a very powerful team that for the most part tends to be able to operate independently. So I don't play as much of a role in throttling them because I just trust that they're going to own their shit and know when to ask for help. And Tiff's gotten better at that, but she just like, she broke pretty majorly in Q1. And also, I basically fired
her. I'm not good at asking for help. Suck at asking for help. Like, I think that I'm like hero woman, hear me roar. I can handle it all. And then I'll just have like a screaming moment where I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, what?
She usually calls me and says, bring your ass back to the office.
Like, you know, because I do. I have that personality of that. I think that I can do it all. But then I also probably favor a lot of Mike's personality too sometimes, where I'm like so driven that I want the next thing. I see the next thing. So I don't ever slow down and stop. And he's very good at taking that moment of just saying, hey, what can I do to help you? What do I need to do? Sometimes it's not as nice because then he sees me frustrated and it turns into like, just fucking ask for help when you need help. And then you wouldn't get to this point. But I do know how that feels to like not want to ask for help, especially if it's with my kids. I'm very protective of that. Who helps, who delegates, who watches, who does anything with them. So I can relate to that a lot.
You know? Well, the struggle for me this year, well, yes, I do suck at delegating because most of the time I'm like, if I'm already like into something, I'm like, well, might as well just do all the things while I'm right here. So like, that's how I do all my events, whatnot. So I'm working on getting better at delegating actual like workload and assigning other people to help knock out some of those more hands-on tasks. But earlier this year, it was more so like we signed ourselves up for the homeschool life and we had someone in place to help with it. And there was a transition because we knew we were going to lose her if we didn't transition and get her into more of the event, like on the business side versus the kids side of the house. I was interviewing, I had a recruiter in place. Like I had people helping me find the perfect fit and like found someone. And then it was like, actually no. And so it, like all that just kind of like fell through at the new year and I was already overwhelmed. I expected there to be like a lull at the beginning of the year so I could get caught up with everything from Q4 that I dropped the ball on. Oh, celebrating. That didn't happen. And like literally shit hit the fan January. Like there was a massive problem that came to light in January that neither Mike nor I had known about. And that was a straw that broke the camel's back for me. And that like, I don't like to ask people for help. Like when I feel like I'm inconveniencing them. And we used to have my parents as like a huge part of our childcare. Like my mom kept MJ from the time he was born until we moved. They saw us daily. And so like going from that to it's mainly on us. And that's just one more thing that I have to coordinate and organize and think about, which I never had to do before. My mom basically set us up for success where when we came home from work, like all we had to do was like eat dinner and hang out as a family. And then it went from all of that to that's all on me. And I have to learn how to delegate and like tell people to do that. Never had to do that before. So that was on me, but he is also very guilty of when he sees me overwhelmed and like breaking, he'll just yank the cord and like pull everything, thinking it's going to help me. That also didn't help me because he took like firing me. Cause I like our boys needed the one-on-one attention at that point in time. They did. That's never what I wanted to do. Like I find my purpose from being a part of like a winning team and like my work projects. And like, that's where I get my fulfillment. As much as I love my children, I'm just like, it just takes a special person to be able to be a teacher. So we have help now.
I can't do it. I've told Sam this because I know that he homeschools. I'm like, that's a special place. That's not for me. Because
when COVID hit, our school basically asked us to homeschool our kids. And it was like, whoa. This is, we're both very smart, but I'm not a teacher.
No.
I don't have the patience.
That was my greatest fear, is taking the fun out of learning for them. I'm like, that's the whole reason we're doing homeschooling, is so that they are excited to continue learning, because as long as they continue learning through life, they'll be successful at whatever they want to do. So that was my greatest fear, was that I was going to take the learning, like the fun out of learning, because I was getting frustrated with them on the days when they didn't want to do school the way I thought school should be done. Cause I was a great student and I went the traditional route. And I'm like, we're going to sit down, we're going to do these lessons, and then you can play for the rest of the day, but like, let's just do it. But I really needed to be a part of our team and have those projects that were separate from that. So we got the people in place, but it's still a learning journey for me on how to appropriately lead them and delegate things to them and like set them up for success as well. So that was the hardest part for me. But on top of that, me and Mike just like, when we're not in sync, I get anxious. When I'm anxious, it makes his anxiety that much worse. So it was just this, like, I don't even know how to explain it.
Constant wagon wheel, like constant revolving door. So Mike, do you have the more people that I talk to in this bigger circle of businesses, I keep noticing that more, I'm going to call them power couples, they're homeschooling. Like, yeah, do you see that a lot?
What
do you
see
that a lot with a lot of your businesses that y'all coach? Like, she's Tiff. Y'all can't, everybody that's listening, y'all can't see Tiff smiles. Like, I don't know if you have a stance on that. I mean, I know Sam has a stance. He's like, that's a totally different podcast for a different day, but I'm seeing it more frequently.
Our kids go to a small Catholic private school. So I think we get some benefits that are maybe similar to homeschooling. Like, every teacher in the school knows who your kids are. You know, so it's an intimate environment for them. But I'm curious, like Erica said, like, is there something that we missed on the boat for homeschooling? Like,
not saying I can take that on, but.
Oh, and like, be fair, we didn't. Like, we hired somebody. Like, we're a part of it. Like, I'm like the recess teacher. Like, I'm not the homeschool teacher, right? Like,
right.
And so for us, it was about time freedom. When we got very clear on the life we wanted about 6 years ago. And we're like, what does success in our life look like? And time freedom was a big part of that. That's why getting her out of corporate America was a big deal. Getting me out of corporate America was a big deal. Getting the kids out of school was a big deal. Because like, I don't want to have to make decisions around vacation days and off days. And I don't want to get calls from fucking school saying your kids didn't show up today. That's a problem. Go fuck yourself. What are you doing with them for the 7 hours you have them? Like, I'm taking my kids somewhere.
And school takes like 90 minutes.
Literally, like it's 90 minutes of learning a day is all schooling is, not just homeschool. Like, think about your kids in school. It's between classes. It's not 8 hours of learning.
Right.
And so we'll say book learning. There's plenty of learning going on. But for me, it was a decision we made 6 years ago. Like, when we built our first vision board, like 6 or 7 years ago, time freedom and the ability to like go live life where we want, when we want, with our children was a big part of that vision. And so homeschool initially was that. It was, we want the time freedom to be able to come and go as we please and take our kids with us. And that doesn't impact anything. And like, we went on a vacation in October. We took the nanny with us. We took my assistant with us. Like, it was a real vacation, because like, taking kids to the beach is not a fucking vacation. It's a nightmare. Okay. It's not a vacation. And I needed a vacation. Right. And so we brought, and every day they did school lessons, and every day they did their reading, and every day they did their math, and every day they did their exploration, and every day I got to get a break and like actually enjoy a vacation. You know, we brought a chef, like we went all out to like actually take a vacation.
Right.
Like for me, I needed to recharge. Like, it's been a very challenging year as a CEO. And like, I needed to recharge, and like taking 2, 8, and 5, like taking an 8 and 5 year old to the beach for 7 days is not recharging. But their schooling didn't stop. The routine didn't stop. The support didn't stop. Like, we had a phenomenal week that actually felt like we came back refreshed. And so you can't do that if you had to like ask permission to take your kids with you. Like, I'm not going to be told what I can and can't do by anybody.
No, that's so true. And look, the reason why we're laughing is because we have a condo. We purchased it 2 years ago and it's on the beach. And literally yesterday we bring the kids down there and we're sitting there and we're trying to relax. And my son's like,
throw the ball.
Dad, we do this. My little one, she's 7, and she's like, I'm going in the wave. Mom, have you ever seen the TikTok where the guy's like doing all these like dolphin tricks or whatever in the pool? And he's like, Mom, look at this. Like, legit. That's what it was yesterday. And like, I could do nothing but just laugh because I'm like, two weeks ago, he was like, let's take the kids down to Mexico over Christmas break and we'll go relax. And I said, absolutely, like an
all-inclusive not. With the kids. But
we were sitting there yesterday and I said, you think going to Mexico? You want to go to Mexico and do this? No, I'm not doing that without somebody watching the kids or something. I'm not doing that. That's not relaxing. We love our kids and we love spending time with them and we do things with them and we want them to explore different things. But exactly what you're saying, if I'm leaving to go recharge, I don't want to dolphin flip and watch that.
Well, I have a brother that, you know, back on the homeschool, and I have some brothers that have homeschooled their kids. We have an interesting thing. Our private school in our division of sports at our private school, one of the teams that we play against is private school kids. Mm-hmm. Homeschool kids. I'm sorry. Yeah. Have y'all something like that in y'all's area where your kids can all go play together? All the homeschool kids are on the same homeschool.
Well, in South Carolina, like the kids can actually play for the local middle school and high schools.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's awesome.
So like if I was like, hey, I want to play middle school baseball, we can go register him and he can go play public sports if mm-hmm. we want to. So it's definitely not about keeping them away from public school kids. Like that's not the intent, right? And like, as the internet has become more robust on the learning side and as school systems have allowed more just wildly unacceptable bullshit into classrooms, and I'm not afraid to say that at all. I have plenty of relatives in the school system. It's fucking terrible. It's not about it's about being more in control about their inputs substantially, right? Like, I'm going to fuck my kids up somehow, but at least they're going to be fucked up based on my values.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like, and I'm good with that. And so... You know, it's not about like, well, why don't you just send them to public school? No, because then, like, I'm putting them in a classroom with somebody who's settled for a $40,000 a fucking year salary, who likely hates their job and doesn't get the support they need. And that's the energy that's going to be poured into my kids every day. No, I'm not fucking doing it.
We spend astronomical amounts of money for our kids to go to private school. And when we sit back and look at it, I'm like, wow, just for Kipton over the next 4 years, it's going to be over $50,000.
Yeah, I could see doing it you know what you could do investment wise.
And that's just my phone. That doesn't include the private school that we pay for my daughter. She's $5,000 a year at minimum. Well,
we pay $65,000 a year for a nanny.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we could do it.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's what we're doing to make sure that we have the support we need. Because look, there's actually a bigger story to the whole purpose behind this. Like I really got heavily into like studying the highly successful from like the early 1900s. Like Theodore Roosevelt's one of my favorite people to study. And like that dude had so much help around his life so he could focus on what was most important and most valuable to him. And like, I don't get excited about cars and boats and private jets and shit. I get excited about nannies and housekeepers and assistants and chefs because like, it's about time. I want to buy my time back. Right. And so like we've done a really good job over the last couple of years building a business that can support that, building a lifestyle that can support that, finding a house that can support that. But it really comes down to a vision of what I have for how I want to live my life. And that's the bigger picture is it's I'm not afraid to surround myself with people for specific roles that are better than I at those roles. Like there's not a business in the world that says, yeah, hire somebody who's worse than you at something.
Right.
Right. And so I run my life like a business. I'm not a great homeschooler. I'm a hire homeschooler. I'm not good at fucking laundry. I'm hiring someone for that shit. I don't like food prepping every week. I'm going to hire someone to do that shit. Like, I'm not afraid to spend the money because every time I do, I get time back. And my time is very, very valuable when it's allocated and distributed to the right activities.
I think that's a really awesome thing because there's so many people around us. And look, this gets back into my coaching that I do through WinRate with Sam, who's my one-on-one coach, is that I am very adamant about I am not cleaning. I very rarely ever cook. Garland does no outside maintenance to our house and we have a beautiful home, but we are doing exactly what you said. We are buying back our time. I work to achieve other things. my condo, traveling, whatever we want to do is what we are using and utilizing our vision and our money that we make for our kids to have a different lifestyle. But then there's so many people around us that are like, wow, you really pay somebody to do that? Wow.
You know how many dads tell me they have fun cutting their grass? I'm like, no, you don't. You're just telling yourself that. That's bullshit. You know why, though?
Because it's a disruption from the life they did. They didn't build that they actually fucking like.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's not a single fucking person in the world that's better off spending 4 hours cutting the fucking grass than spending time with their wife, their kids, or on their business or on their career. They're not a fucking person that actually values that better if they actually built something they're proud of.
And it's so crazy because I think it's not the norm to hear that. And I think that's why I absolutely love like listening to you and Tiff, listening to Sam, like listening to Clifton. Like I tell everybody, Garland will say this. Anybody that asks me, I'm like, really? You like what I'm telling you? Or you like what I'm, you need to follow these people. Like, yeah. Don't go find a coach. Don't go find somebody that's going to like fluff your feathers and just tell you what you want to hear. Go and get somebody that's going to be really authentic with you. Because I think that's what we're missing in the world. Because you started off saying this, you don't ever want to work for somebody that can tell you what to do it and how to say it. And I think that I get that label a lot. Garland will agree to that because I'm just going to tell you what I think right off the top. This is what I think. This is why I agree with it or not. You can like me or not like me, and it's okay. But this is why I'm doing the things I'm doing, or this is why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. And we need more people like that. And I think that if we can teach our kids that, and I think that's part of, in my opinion, being a power couple is that y'all agree on that, teaching your kids how to be different, and being different is okay.
Yeah.
But it's also like being the couple that's ready to break like generational habits. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, that's scary shit, man. You're going to get it wrong because you didn't have the example of what it looks like to build a $1 million lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, and so we're going to fuck it up. We're going to make some mistakes, but you know what? My 8-year-old right now is learning lessons that I'm learning at 35, 36, 37. He's learning it at 5, 6, 7, 8. Like MJ will have a more successful business than I ever had at like 15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm learning all the, like I have this vision. I don't talk about this a lot publicly. You know what I'm talking about. So I have this vision for like, what does success on the other side of this look like to me? And I want to be Papa Claude, that everybody who knows me wants to come to me for business advice and success and wealth advice because I learned all the lessons the hard way. And so I picture like I'm taking on every challenge I can. I'm getting into partnerships. We started a nonprofit, growing businesses, coaching companies, creating content, trying to whatever. I want to be the guy that my entire lineage beneath me comes to that says, what would Papa Claude say? Because he's got the experience. He's got the wealth. He's got the knowledge. And wealth isn't always money because I'm making a fuck ton of mistakes right now because I don't know what I'm doing. But I'm moving forward and I'm learning and I'm evolving. But like I have this vision of being in a fucking comfy ass chair at my house and my kids and my grandkids and all their friends and all they people come to Papa Claude because Papa Claude has the answers because Papa Claude did the fucking work. And like, I take on so many challenges willing and be willing to fail and fall on my face so they don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to destroy a concept too, where like I grew up without a lot of money and I used to classify people as successful based on how much money they had. But like, I don't want people to think that it's out of reach. It's not out of reach for anybody. Like you said, just a few years ago, it all went away. And now you brought it back. Like me and Erica, when we started dating, and I had a question written down, it was like, I want to know what was life like when y'all got together. But like when me and Erica started dating, this was like a college season for us. We had this hurricane glass from Pat O'Brien's. And when we filled it up with change, it had like $40 in it. That meant we could go out to eat. Like we could only go out to eat when that freaking glass was full of change. Like,
We had to go and like take it to like Albertsons or wherever, whatever the grocery store was, and like it changed it out. And we had to like, I would say, oh my gosh, it took like $1 something out. Like,
they charge a fee. Yeah.
Like change it to cash.
Well, I mean, you couldn't go out to eat for $40 now, but that neither here nor there. And now we're sitting in our condo, our second home, you know? So this wasn't that many years ago. I guess
money's easy. Money's so easy. People are hard. I underestimated honestly how easy, or I'm gonna say this, how simple money is. Well, money is very simple, not easy, right? But not complicated.
I feel so. This is probably more of a tip question, but like as a female, I am typically the face of our company, and I struggle sometimes of like. He can look at me like,
I don't want to be the face.
he doesn't, and that's okay, and we knew that going into it. But as a female, I feel like the bigger we get, the more in front of people we get. We're about to be on a TV show, and that is like an amazing opportunity. But as a mom, like as y'all have grown with WinRate, and you keep saying y'all have, you know, success, like how do you continue to stay centered as a wife and as a mother?
Oh, that's a great question. I go through seasons where I like completely disappear from social media. I check in just enough to like do what I got to do for work and like show the people that I want to see their stuff. I'll give them love like real quick on their stories or whatnot because they're the top three bubbles. But I disappear. This year has been the worst in regards to being overwhelmed by the inputs and notifications and just the amount of things that are happening on my phone and my computer and just in my house every single day. We have at least 5 people in and out of our house every single day in regards to like keeping the machine running, like the whole thing. It's just a lot. It's too much. It's too much for me to like comprehend. Some days I've spent more like ADD moments this year than I ever have in my life. And so like trying to figure out like, okay, what's causing that? Where, so like staying grounded for me is like shutting down those things that I know for a fact, without a doubt, are causing that like chaos. Right. And then reminding myself and focusing on, okay, what is it that I need to do like right now for Mike, for my kids? Like, how do I need to show up today, right now, in this moment for them? Make sure I get that done first, and then all the rest is icing on the cake, right? It is weird. The bigger you get, the more eyes are watching. There are more people watching than you will ever be able to comprehend or know. I get DMs regularly, especially when I show up on his podcast, but of people I haven't talked to in a decade, but they're like, hey, just listen to this podcast episode. And like, I needed that. Like, I'm struggling. I'm going to therapy right now. And you're just like, wow, like thank you for letting me know. So there are people watching. It is weird. We've been in grocery stores where people know my kids and I don't know them. It's weird. I can't go anywhere with him that someone's not like, I swear I've seen you somewhere. I'm like, I know. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, you know, wherever you can find anything. But it's
he's smiling, but it's true.
I can't bring her to the store. We'll never get out the store.
What's scary though, the scariest piece is when people walk up and they like know you. Like they know without a doubt that they know you and they feel like you are friends, which means content is working, right? When there, but it's scary because you're like, I'm really sorry, but like I don't know your name. Like, can we start there? And they're like, Jeremy from Facebook. And I'm like, oh. Hi, Jeremy. I'm glad you're following along. You know, it's like weird.
My first name, like, oh, hey, Erica, blah, blah. And Garland's like, okay, who is that? And like, he's kind of like just started walking off now. Like, he won't even like entertain.
Somebody's got to get the groceries. We just get them delivered now.
Instacart, bro. Yeah, Instacart is like the greatest thing ever.
We love getting them delivered.
Yeah. Dude, fuck Costco, man. I'm never going to Costco again. Instacart. We get Instacart sometimes faster than we can even get to the fucking store. It's like, I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And I'm like, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. Yes,
I love it. Yeah. I love it. So Mike, last question for today to wrap up probably is, what is your one thing that you can say to any couple that is striving or scaling for success? What is your one coachable moment today?
Just one thing.
If
I had to say the number one thing that I would say that we have done that has been the biggest impact is plan it. planned dates, planned sex, planned vacations, planned meetings, planned budgets, planned the year, planned the activities. Like every year we plan every date night and vacation for the entire year we'll have on the calendar before the end of this year. Like all 2024 priority dates will be planned and on the calendar before this year's over. Because like it's so many people try to, we'll fit it in when we find time between other priorities. No, fuck that. We plan to prioritize our relationship and then make everything else fit inside of that. Because I get asked about speaking events and content and this and that and this and that. And I say no all the time if it conflicts with her or us or our plan. And plan it. The number one people, plan it. And then like, that becomes a non-negotiable. Like we have a date lunch every Monday, non-negotiable. We have a date twice a month, non-negotiable. We do overnight date nights once a quarter, non-negotiable. And like plan it.
Right.
All right. There you go, guys. You got your nugget for today. So I am going to definitely put a little bit of pressure on Miss Tiffany. I would love to have you back individually on the podcast to talk more about the female side of things and being successful entrepreneurs. Sorry, Mike. But I think that you have a lot more that you could share with a lot of our followers. But I am so humbled and so glad that you guys shared some of your time with us and shared some of your experiences and your seasons of life. It is amazing to be a part of y'all's sphere. And so where can everybody find you? Listen to you.
I mean, the best thing is go to MikeClaudio.com. Yeah. I mean, that's got the links to the podcast, the YouTube channel, all the social medias.
Once you find his social, you can find mine.
Yeah. So yeah, she's at Mrs. Winrate on Instagram. But if you go to MikeClaudio.com, that is the best place to go to find all the links for all the stuff. Cause I am everywhere.
So this is how I'll close Escapes today. I am so humbled to be a part of the Winrate family. I started this journey almost 8 months ago, and my business has completely changed over the last 8 months. Garland and I have changed over the last 8 months, and I graciously give that to your team, to you, your mission, your core values, and to everyone on your team. And so if you are thinking about coaching, or if you are even tampering with the idea of sitting down with someone, please reach out to Mike and his team. They are amazing. They are going to make you accountable, but they are not going to take excuses. So if you are really wanting a coach, make sure you reach out to Mike and his team so that you can win fast and win often. And I am so super excited that you guys were here. So thank you so much. And I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, you. Guys. Appreciate it. Great job.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.